Please take your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 10 through verse 17 this morning. Let's ask God to guide us before we look to His Word. Father, we thank You for the God that You are. We thank You for sending Your Son to die for us. As we think about Your Word here this morning, help us to live in light of it. Help us to understand it and apply it to our lives and be changed through the power of Your Spirit, through Your Word. Help me to clearly explain this passage, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Watch Out, Watch Out. You know, if you're a truck driver and you're barreling down the road and you see a sign like that, what do? Hit the brakes, because otherwise you end up like this. They call this one the can opener. I don't know if any of you ever heard about this. This is a famous bridge in Durham, North Carolina, that has taken out many a truck, especially box trucks. There's another one. But it gets worse. Actually, there's a whole website devoted to 11foot8.com, and you can watch their videos, see things. It has since been raised, but only to 12 foot 4 inches, which still is a little iffy. Right? There's a number of factors. The railroad, there's pipes underneath that they really can't go any lower on the road. So you still got to watch it. But this is even worse. This is a 10-foot-6 bridge, and it was in Westwood, Massachusetts. The YouTube video entitles it the 11-foot-8 evil little brother. Because this one's not just a can opener. This one actually just smashes trucks. As you see, they literally come apart. That's much worse. In fact, there was a famous one that is in the video that a truck caught fire. It actually had lobsters on it. It wasn't even like flammable stuff, but it was really nasty. And you watch the video and you're like, the firefighters get there. They're like, la, 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 la. You know, like, come on, you know, this seems serious. But it does say it was quickly extinguished. I know it's all relative, but it definitely seemed like it burned for quite a while before they got it under control. They finally fixed that in 2018, and they raised that to 13 feet, 5 inches. So, still a little low, right? But actually, it wasn't just bad for trucks, though. It was bad for cars. If you see the jaunt in the road, there's even cars that would swerve and hit the other cars. And I mean, it was actually a lot of accidents took place there. You know, you got to watch out as a truck driver, but we all need to watch out, right? And this teaches us what we need to watch out for in life, as to heed the warnings and not just hurtle heedlessly through life, or we'll end up having not just a bad day, but a bad life. Last week we saw from our study of the book of Proverbs, in the beginning studying the wisdom of a cur, about the need to trust God, not self, heeding the exhortations to trust in God's greatness, admit our own stupidity, lack of knowledge, and see our limits in contrast to His greatness, then to trust God's Word. It's His Word, and His every word is pure, and the protection for us, you know, the shield picture. So don't add to it or will be revealed to be the liar in the end. And then lastly, to trust God's provision. Ask for neither poverty nor riches, because each bring their own temptations. Instead, be content with what He has given as daily supply from Him. Now, we continue studying the wisdom of Agur, this unknown man, other than God want us to have this. I don't think we should say this is Solomon or anything. And probably he's giving some advice to his kids, and we need to learn from them as well. And here, it's a negative thing. There's curses, warnings and curses, and to heed the warning to watch out, paying attention to two warnings that I want to give you in these verses 10 through 17. These that, in verse 10 and verse 17 kind of bookend the depiction of bad people and things, as we'll see. So the first warning, watch out for meddlers and meanies. Watch out for meddlers and meanies. And verse 10, it says, do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. So this warning, don't do this, right? It's not your job, and in fact, they're going to hate you because of that. And we can do the same thing as well, right? We judge those when it's not our place to judge, as Romans, or Paul says in Romans 14. You know, it's not your master. You know, we're responsible each to his own master. Don't meddle in other people's affairs. And then verses 11 through 14, you have these loathsome people, these meanies, these that it says the generation, or other translation put it, those who. These are the kind of people. Makes you think of what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, the kind of people who live in the last days. Those that curse their father, don't bless their mother, and when they should be respecting them, honoring them, as the law tells us we should do, obeying them when they're in the home, and it's still lifelong, you still have a responsibility to honor and respect them. And when you do, there's the result is that you live long in the land for the Israelites. For us, it's the earth, as Ephesians 6, Paul applies that. Later, he's going to say, when you mistreat them, you know, the eye that mocks his father scorns his obedience, his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out. Young eagles will eat it. A horrific curse there. Don't be like that. Don't be those that curse and deserve death as a result. Then there's those that are pure in their own eyes. This is the natural human tendency. It's the foolish thinking who says, I know better than you and I'm not going to listen. It's a pretty limited perspective, right? How much knowledge do you really have? We've already been challenged with that last week. We don't really know. God is the one who knows. He's the one that we need to go to for wisdom and understanding. It's the fool who says, I know better. And yet, they're not washed in their filthiness like the Pharisees, right? I mean, I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector, right? And that's human nature. Think we're better off than the other person. You know, an axe murderer is pretty good compared to some other people. But that's not the standard, right? Who is the standard? Jesus Christ, perfection. That's who we're being compared against. And by that standard, none of us measure up. We've all fallen short of God's glory, right? We're all sinners. We've all done wrong. And we all deserve the punishment that is coming. The wages of sin is death. And think we're pure when we're not. Titus, Paul warns us, Titus 1, 15 and 16. You know, to the pure, all things are pure, but the defiled, everything's defiled, right? I mean, you think you're pure, but you're not, and actually you're taking good and twisting it for bad, as we've seen before. Then there's a generation, oh, how lofty their eyes, their eyelids are lifted up, this idea that someone who's stuck up or is walking around with a nose in the air, however you want to put that. You know, this picture of the one that thinks they're so much better than those around them and can't see their own problems. Proverbs warns against this time and again. We see him back in chapter 6, verse 17, verse 21, verse 4, other places. God warns, you resist the proud but gives grace to the humble, right? I mean, he's going to humble those who are proud. Let's not be the ones that are proud. Let's be those that are humble. And then there's the generation whose teeth are like swords and knives, fangs like knives. Makes you think of the vampire, right? You know, this picture that they're ready to just tear into you. Who are they tearing into? You find it's the poor, the needy. Those that God has already said, I'm on their side, right? You know, you watch out for them, you'll be blessed. As we've seen before in the book of Proverbs. James warns against those who take advantage of the poor workers in James chapter 5, keeping back their wages. And the Lord of the Sabbath is watching, and he will make that right in the end. What is true religion? To visit the orphan, the widows. And I'm thankful, as having lost a brother at 47, that God watches out for the widows and orphans. And God's taking care of them. But those that would take advantage of those kind of people, the weak and the needy, those are the ones that God is going to destroy in the end. So this is the warning. Watch out for meddlers and meanies. Watch out for these people. Growing up, we had chickens and turkeys and goats. And when I go to feed, especially goats, you give them the chop, put the cans for each one of them. And you know how it is, right? They all woof it all down, and then they try to go take steal somebody else's. And that's when I step in and say, no, you big meanie, get out of here, or the chickens, right? I mean, they're all, you know, it always seems to be the one that has the most feathers is the one on top, right? The one that looks the best. And that poor little scrawny one that like has like no feathers left because they've all, you know, henpecked it to death almost. And sometimes it's just like satisfying to just give that, you know, nice looking one a kick or whatever. And, you know, just, you stupid meanie, right? This isn't your time. You got your stuff. You definitely get more. It's obvious. So, you know, you've gotten more food than the other people, or not people, animals, right? What about you? Are you watching out for the meddlers and meanies in life, those who interfere in others' lives and are mean to get what they want? Are you listening to those who would tattle on a fellow employee or a sibling, right? You're listening to a meddler. This only causes more problems. Or maybe are you the meddler when you should be focused on your own job? Sometimes we have no problem, you know, telling what other people's problems are, right? And easy to criticize other Christians when, as Paul says in Romans 14, it's their master they're accountable. Each one is accountable to your own master, right? It's between you and the Lord. There's, you know, when you're doing things that are affecting others, yes. But when it comes between matters of conscience, we leave that to you, between you and Christ. And those gray areas as he lays out. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12 that we are to mind our own business, right? Work with your own hands, mind your own business. Focus on your own stuff. Don't meddle in other people's affairs. Because when you do, it's a bad testimony. It reflects badly on Christ. Are you avoiding those mean people who don't respect their parents? This is especially relevant for teens. You have friends that don't respect their parents? Those aren't good friends. And you'll reap the consequences if you hang out with them. Or those that don't see their own flaws. They'll have no problem pointing out your flaws, but it's the humble people that are sensitive to their own flaws and seek God's help to change. And in the end, as James chapter 4 says, God will lift them up, right? You humble yourself, God will lift you up in the end. You keep yourself proud, God will humble you. I don't know about you, but I want to be the one who's lifted up by God, not the one who's humbled by God. Are you too proud? Because God's going to humble you in the end. Are you taking advantage of the poor, the weak, the helpless? Remember, it's God that is the one who helps them. He is on their side. And true religion is to visit the orphans and the widows. Are you watching out for the meddlers and meanies? And then the second warning here in verses 15 through 17. To watch out for the covetous and the cursed. The leech has two daughters. Give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough, the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough. So here you have, comparing it to a leech, right? These are the horse leech, these lovely little creatures that you don't want to find on your body, right? They're called the horse leeches because often they would get up into the nostrils of the horses when they were drinking. And they, you know, cut into the skin, suck the blood until they're engorged. It seems like, you know, they never have enough. And then it gives this analogy, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? The grave, the empty womb, the earth that's never satisfied, always takes in more water, right? And then the fire, which is interesting. The grave ends life. The barren womb begins life. The parched earth, when it is watered, gives life, and the fire destroys life. So it's kind of this both ends of the perspective here. But all of these are a picture of greed. And we see this take place in life. The grave, as we see in chapter 27, verse 20, hell and Hades is never satisfied. Sheol, the grave, it can always take more people in. And as you think of the womb, Rachel saying to her husband, give me children or I die. It's like, what? I don't have control over that. One time he kind of, he's like, whoa. And then, the earth, we see this, we're kind of dry right now. You pour water on the ground and it's gone. And we just can take more and more and more. And the fire, we loved fire growing up. We'd burn brush, clear acres of land, and you burn it up and it's gone. But it can keep going. I mean, that's the forest fire has consumed hectares. They don't measure them in acres. They measure them in hectares, right? I mean, because that means there's tons and tons of them. And this picture of greed. And then lastly, the eye that mocks at his mother and scorns obedience to his mother. Right? Instead of obeying his parents, he's scorning, mocking them. The curses, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Not while they're alive. It's the idea is they've died and they're not buried. And for a Jew to not, their corpse not to be buried was a horrific thing. I mean, that's why, the one who's offends a little one, it'd be better if a millstone were thrown out of his neck and cast into the depths of the sea. That's a curse that you wouldn't be able to bury the body. And here's even worse, not that you wouldn't be able to bury the body, but the body would be consumed by the wild animals, pecked by the scavengers. Is that what you want? When you go your own way, instead of doing what God wants and submitting to His plan. Those of you who own poultry know you need to be on the watch for predators, right? Things, minks, weasels, coons. We had a coon get into our turkeys when you were growing up, decimated almost all of them. It was just so sick. I mean, they were big birds by that point. Like, it's one thing when they're little, but it's like when you put all that feed into them and cared for them and you were starting to think about, what they were going to taste like on the platter and, it's like now it's just ruined. And these animals don't just kill one and eat it, they just keep killing and killing and killing. So you got to be on guard. And we had to find every little hole, patch it up, do what you can. It's sickening, right? Because you have to constantly be on guard. Are you watching out for the covetous and cursed in life? Those who want what others want and defy the normal conventions to get it. Do you realize the insatiable nature of greed? It never has enough. It's like what did J.D. Rockefeller say when asked, how many more dollars you need? Just one more dollar. Just one more dollar, right? It's never enough. Are you avoiding its lure? We saw that last week from 1 Timothy chapter 6. To avoid the foolish and harmful lust that pierce through. And verse 21 says that many have strayed from the faith because of it. There's a warning to pastors and 1 Timothy 3:3, especially to avoid it. Proverbs 15:27, when you're covetous, it troubles your own house. Instead, we need to learn to be godly and content, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 6. That's where great gain is. If you have enough, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food allotted to me. Right? That's all we need. We don't need more, we don't need excess, because what do? If you just hoard it, well, the stock market crashes and you've lost it all. Or, the thieves break in and steal. In their day, they had part of it. Clothes were expensive, so that's where the moths would get in. And you ever pulled something out and it's rotted or whatever, and you're like, thought it was good and now it's gone. What did he say in Philippians 4? I can do a little or much. That's where the promise of I can do all things through Christ strengthens me comes in. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's where our confidence needs to be instead. Have you learned how to avoid the greed of the grave in trusting in Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation? Because the grave is going to get you. The only way to avoid that is trusting in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, right? That's going to happen. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And that's the death that awaits all of us. But the good news is that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, became one of us to die for us And He has taken our place so that all who place their faith in Jesus Christ, as Romans 10:9 says, as if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. No more, no less. How amazing is that? That's where the hope is. That's how you avoid the greed of the grave. Have you done that? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? And then are you wary of the dangers of not respecting your parents? You want a short and cursed life? Go for it. Doesn't sound very fun. But when you honor and respect your parents, His promises long life. They will help you to avoid so many dangers if you listen to them. The number one being hell. If you have parents that are saved and they give you the gospel, that's the best thing they can do for you. How many of us, our testimony includes our parents talking to us about salvation? Are you thankful? I'm thankful for that. Those that love us the most, that would love us to tell us you're a sinner, died, and on your way to hell. I mean, it seems bad news. It is bad news. But the good news doesn't seem good until you know that there's bad. Why do I care that Jesus Christ died for my sins if I don't realize I am a sinner in need of God's grace? This is the reality. Are you watching out for the covetous and cursed? Recently, we've been reminded of the need to watch out for deer. Right? If you're going through Hickory Hills area, Wolf Creek, dusk, dawn, really any time, but you know, definitely those areas, that time of day, as Mike Klein taught me years ago, this is where you put your high beams on if you can and keep your foot over the brake, right? Because that's where you see all the roadkill. And as my sister-in-law found out, that's where you hit them too sometimes. Are you watching out for the spiritual dangers in life? Are you heeding the warnings to watch out for meddlers and meanies, covetous and cursed? Are you watching out in life and heeding God's warnings? Father, we thank You for this passage. Help us live in light of its challenge. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.